Mike's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
You know, I'm happy to say, as a coworker and as his uncle, Joe did a thing there that I always get tripped up by, and it's like the show really needs to get better from here, but the draft isn't tonight. The first round of the draft is tonight. Now, if your draft doesn't go multiple days, you're not a serious organization.
That's
like
right.
You have to, NBA even, like last night was round two, previous night was round one.
I think the most recent version of the OHL draft that I caught wind of this past spring did round one on like a weekday night and then the rest of it the next day. So OHL, even a draft where you're drafting 15-year-old hockey players, they've stretched it out.
You know, that as I think about it, I don't think I'm in a fantasy league that does go for more than one day. But we have to start incorporating that.
What about these ones? I mean, these slow. I mean, a slow draft.
Well, a slow draft.
That's a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Would that not be cool for like the NFL or like a major league sport if they had an 8-hour clock? That's not going to be easy on TV. But in fantasy, the clock does. Most sites, the clock does stop overnight. So you're not having to sit there at 3 a.m. waiting for the Jaguars to pick. Yeah.
It's funny. You, if you want content, I mean, that would stretch out content, but just, yeah, the problem is the in-betweens there.
That would be funny.
That could be tough.
Some of these, I'm in one with my friend JD up in Toronto, and this one is going particularly slowly, and, you know, is what it is. It's 8 hours. You just sort of wait. But if everybody knows each other, this is not one of those.
Right.
If everybody knows each other, you know, like, where's Greg? He's got an hour and a half left. Does he know? Can somebody find him? Like, where's Tennessee? Where's Tennessee? Like, do they know they're up? If this were actually how the NFL draft works,
right.
Does Tennessee know it's actually up? Because it's only 58 minutes. Would a team? I'm sorry, I'm getting a little carried away. But imagine like this could actually be possible, you know, in these times where a sports network is willing to cover that continually. Like the whole 8-hour clocks, the first round goes a week, 2 weeks, whatever that would be. Like that could happen. But in the way, like if you have 10 minutes to pick, like now in the first round of the NFL draft, and teams, even though Cam Ward, even though Tennessee knew what it was going to do, did they not use the whole 10 minutes? Like you sort of just, they tell you, you know, just relax.
It's time. It's time with your logo on the screen.
Your logo. They're talking about you.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Would they talk about you for the whole 8 hours?
And, right.
It's 5 hours and 11 minutes to go here.
Seems far fetched.
We don't know where they are.
Yeah.
But they probably should know that they're up.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
I am excited to find out. I'll be off my bicycle by the time the draft actually begins. Our coverage tomorrow, tonight begins at 7. Tomorrow, our coverage starts at 11 a.m., and the first pick of round two will be around noon. I think that's the official start time of round two, and they'll go until round 7 is over. And 2/3 of our draft coverage team is in the control room right now. Your nephew Joe, Zach Jones, our regular producer, and my son Owen, who has, I don't know that he alternated pages like you do in the notebook, but he's got a notebook, and it is full of stuff on guys. Because I told him today, like, how long does the coverage go? He's like, until the draft's over. I'm like, dude, do you know what you just signed up for? Like, do you have any idea? I'm not even sure. I have never
4 hours.
I don't think I've ever stayed with day two of the NHL draft long enough to know when the checkered flag waves. I honestly don't know how, but it's got to go, you know, a few hours at least, I'm sure, into like mid-afternoon at
6 hours
earliest. I don't know, but man, he's ready to go. He's got notes on, I don't know, a couple hundred prospects, I think. He's good to go.
I love notes, and I fully respect that. What's a little bit unfortunate, I guess, to use one word, about the NHL draft is the odds that anybody pick tomorrow is ever any good in the league. It's just not how hockey is. Football is so much better for the draft, for fan purposes, because what are we talking about all the time? With the Bills, Bills are a good example this year, because most of 99%, if not 99.9% of Bills fans had no idea who Dion Walker is. Like, just sort of, most people don't know. What do they listen for when that pick is made?
The school.
Defense and school. Defense, right? Position and school. And hockey has forward, defense, goalie. Like, there's three buckets.
And 9 million leagues.
Well, right. Like, you're not going to know Shawinigan from Moose Jaw.
There's French-Canadian juniors. There's Ontario juniors. There's Western-Canadian juniors. There's USHL. There's NAHL. They don't have many guys picked in your average draft. And then you've got European guys and, oh my gosh, in college guys, it's just a lot of guys.
Yeah, like, you almost have no chance of being able to sort of comprehend the differences. Like, Owen, in this case, will tell us tomorrow who everybody is, and then the Sabres will take their turn to tell us who everybody is. But almost nope. And that's football. That's like 1 in 500 people know the names of the non-day one players, or certainly day three players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that, you know, condescendingly, because that's usually me too. I will sometimes know the running backs and receivers because of fantasy, but I didn't know who TJ Sanders was. And the Bills picked him in the second round. Like, oh, okay, right? That was a new name for me, I think. If I ever heard his name, it was briefly.
It was very weird that his name, he was in the pool of guys, like ranked around the pool of guys that we talked about, but for some reason he just always fell through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think his name came up when we talked to Trapasso and, like, you know, did our draft coverage. So it's just kind of funny, you know, looking back at it. I don't know why that was. It just happened that way.
And that is, I think, pretty much what usually happens is there, you know, that to make that point in football. The Broncos on day two picked a receiver named Pat Bryant, and I spent every day on receivers and running backs and, like, trying to draft teams, you know, who's going to go on day two, day one, day three, what are the possibilities here? I never remember hearing the name Pat Bryant before. Next thing you know, he's picked by Denver, and their head coach, who's, you know, won a lot of games, is comparing him to Michael Thomas. Oh, well, I guess I should know this name now. I mean, anyway, it's just to say, like, unfortunately for the hockey draft, for the NHL draft and interest in it, you make the point about different countries and leagues, but simply, like, there is just, it's just not compartmentalized like football is, where it's so easy that almost all Bills fans, even by Friday, if not Saturday, didn't care anymore who the players were. It's just positions. Are they going to draft offense? And when they don't, maybe this happened for a fourth pick in a row, leading off on Saturday, like, okay, that's a story. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
It just matters, like, all right, don't we need a receiver? Don't we need a running back? Whatever it was. And that's what football – one thing, what did was it Greg Wyshynski or someone else say earlier this week on our show? It's also that people watch college football, and a lot of people would have known who TJ Sanders was and certainly knew who Max Hairston was, you know? And, like, there's a familiarity with those guys because – you know, we're crazy for college football on Saturdays. That's the SEC.
And even if you don't know the player specifically, you at least know his school. Like, you think, oh, I must have seen him play because I watched South Carolina play Tennessee this year or whatever. You know, like, it's just a different thing.
Yeah. Well, none of this is really, like, anything new. It's just, I'm just going to say good for Owen. right. Because he's going to know whatever it is there is to know about, you know, these kids.
And I told him, just be ready for, like, I don't know, 80% conservatively of that stuff that you've been meticulously notating for weeks to end up completely useless. It's on the cutting room floor. It's just not gonna make it.
Right.
There's commercials, and then you'll be talking to Paul, and the guys will be talking that get picked, and like, you just, 20 picks are going to go by. You're going to not have anything to say about them.
That's okay, though.
Yeah, no.
There's a good lesson in that.
You will welcome the break, sure.
There's a good lesson in that. Who's ever gotten in trouble being overprepared?
That's right. That's right.
So, all right, well, that'll be tonight and tomorrow. Is there a... What's the range here? It's not like 100 to 0, but what could happen tonight that we will like or dislike? I mean, there could be a trade. There could be they just make the pick at 9.
I think the trade or no trade is the NHL draft's version, for at least for Sabres fans, of receiver or no receiver to some extent. I don't know if that's exact. I just thought of that. I hadn't been sitting on that for a day or anything, but I think a trade of some kind before the 9th pick gets made, involving Bo Byram, ideally, and replacing in some hopefully credible capacity what you gave up in J.J. Paterka, that happens before the picks start being made. I happen to like the idea, maybe, of the 9th pick being a sweetener in a Byram trade to get you a better caliber of winger, if that's actually what they end up targeting. It's what I think they should be targeting. And I think if that doesn't happen, then it's another day closer to, are they going to do that or not? And that lasts maybe more than a week. But then, the milk starts to smell funny after a while. But by the time you get past July 2nd or 3rd, like past the 4th of July even, right? That's on a Friday this year, so we'll be off, and then we'll be back on Monday. And if something hasn't happened by then, it's big trouble. But tonight is the first signpost on the way to that. This first signpost on the way to oblivion, it's going to feel like, if they don't do something to replace Paterka. We talked a lot about that yesterday. And I like the guys that they got in that trade, but there has to be something significant happening beyond it. And if that doesn't come, then you've got a lot of problems, I think, that look a lot like previous seasons when we thought, they're gonna add this or that, and nope.
I don't know. I just think this is going to be a little bit like a couple days ago when I mentioned what I think is like Samuelson's general irrelevance to the overall, and you pushed at me on that. I think the range of reactions here is from like really good somehow to whatever. I mean, I don't know what, if they don't do anything by July 7th, how different will that feel than it has for the last 2 years? It'll just feel like, the Sabres, if I were they, I would probably want to ignore this. I'm not here for public perception. I work here. I'm going to do what I think is best for the team. This is Adams and like the whole lot of them. But really, like, there's very little they could do, even including like, the Paterka trade. What would you say public opinion was on that? Like 80-20 against?
Yeah.
Because, people are not.
Maybe worse.
Maybe worse. Like, they're not so clued in on what the contract dynamics might be, what the player is saying, what the agent is saying. You and I both on Wednesday, Tuesday, after Kevin Adams spoke, immediately we're like, he's gone.
Yeah.
And there should have been no more conversation about that. It was like over because of how he answered the question about Paterka. He answered the question about Paterka by talking about Samuelson. Like, of course he was being traded. So, like, people looked at that, again, I'm talking more casuals, but that's most people, looked at that as, well, he was good and he was traded for people I've never heard of from apparently, quote, Utah as a team now. And like, we said yesterday, like you could defend it, to a point anyway. I don't know. Like what can they do in the next 2 weeks that will really move the meter? Sign Patrick Kane? Just like what would actually do it? I've decided to fight against any ideas like that. To me, like, just go ahead. I think the Sabres are a team that probably in a vacuum is better off drafting tonight, drafting kids, trying to continue to build it from within. But it mostly seems like the situation that everybody's just so fed up that maybe they almost can't do that.
No, it's going to be very – I think the hardest thing right now for the majority of fans, and certainly the casuals like you're referring to, but I think even – well, the passionates usually are split because they've all got a favorite, right? There's a reason why Marco Rossi being mentioned specifically as an opportunity in a trade for Peterka rankled people so much, and people are so mad because there was a cottage industry in that year's draft when the Sabres took Quinn instead of Rossi that was just up in arms about that it was just an awful decision, and how could you do it? And now here's an opportunity to, I guess, right that wrong in the eyes of those people. And so, like, they're right back to pitchforks and fires, mad like they were on the night of that draft. Like, how come you didn't do this again? You had a chance to do this again. Why didn't you do this thing again? So you've always got people who've got their favorites, James Higgins or the kid from the Sioux that I talked about, Brady Martin, that if they pick that guy, you're like, okay, this is the guy I wanted, right? It's like me with Xavier Worthy. What do I know about the draft? I settled on an idea, and I liked it, and I thought it fit, and the Bills punted it to their biggest rival. So, of course, I was upset about that. So that'll happen. It's not as large a number of people, and again, because fewer people know about these guys. But the majority of even passionate Sabres fans, I would count me in this group. I'd be like, who'd you pick? Great.
Yeah, what was last year?
You know, like, right? Who'd you pick? Great. Okay, that reads great. I'll wait. I'm going to be 3 years older by the time he gets here. Fantastic.
That was last year exactly.
Right.
I think.
Yeah,
it was a 13-year drought. They drafted Hellenius.
Right.
Oh, that seems all right.
Reads good. Yeah, reads nice on paper. Sounds good. Okay, great. Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. 200-foot player. Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, great. But
it doesn't really.
Right.
It doesn't affect whether you're going to buy tickets.
You know, no, that's, right.
That's maybe. I don't think it really. It's not optimal if it is a part of their equation, but in real life, it might be. I don't know how bad it is. I mean, we're. We have our own takes. We hear from a lot of people. It just seems very, very desperate right now with them. And they have to care. It's above Adams or above Kekalainen. But somebody has to care about the bottom line, right? And I don't know. Kane is somebody. Doesn't that eventually happen where he's on the team? And maybe it's not the worst idea. I've never wanted it. I just have never really cared about him, but he's local. He'll probably go to the Hall of Fame, and maybe they could use some sort of Q rating help in that way. Instead, it was Eric. The last version of this might have been Eric Staal, who was on like one of the most hated teams in Sabres history, 06 Carolina. Like, okay, well, that doesn't mean he can't help, and he didn't help, and he was traded immediately, and now he's in the front office but won't be around. Like, I just way to really nail it. Way to really nail it.
Sometimes sentences are just full of so much absurdity.
What, is Aaron Ward not available to run the draft for the Sabres?
Can't come forearm shiver people in the chin.
Can't they get Commodore?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, I want to mention this. I mean, I don't have to force it in now, but we got a few minutes before this segment is up. I defended them going, getting low on the return. At least that's the general consensus on the trade yesterday. Sort of in favor of, well, they filled needs. These guys will fit in places of need, and I, especially the defenseman Kesselring. I got it. I think I'm in the clear. And so, fine. I'm not that worried about how it stacks up on the trade chart. If Darren Dreger's going to give it a bad grade, I'm not that worried about that. Just keep doing your thing, right? But I wake up today and one of the first things I see about hockey is from Elliot Friedman, the Sabres aren't quite seeing what they were hoping for as far as offers on Bo Byram. Like, good morning, right? Thanks for coming. And I do think it's fair to connect them not getting great return on Paterka and offers not meeting, you know, their hope or their demand on Byram, because any team that's dealing with them, that's looking at Bo Byram, I think would be inclined to go, I'm not paying sticker. You're the Buffalo Sabres. You just gave, you're trading in dimes for nickels over here, and I'm not going to give you dimes for dimes because I don't have to. And so I don't, it doesn't have to be right, but it's a reason why you should hold steady maybe on getting fair return, because if you are perceived as being taken advantage of by the league at large, well, guess what? People are going to get in line to try to take advantage of you. And it can be harder to do the things you feel like you need to do with Bo Byram or really anyone else. So that doesn't feel great sitting here today. I mean, we'll see. I still can't fathom. Well, I shouldn't say that. I guess I can fathom a scenario where he's on their team still. I mean, they have his rights and he does have value, but I certainly hope that they do make a trade with him.
I wouldn't be terrified of his going to camp, but I would be terrified of a new contract. And I don't even know if that's something that's in the window.
Like a big contract. He'll need a contract.
Well, right. But some sort of commitment.
Yeah, right.
I feel like with Paterka, it's one opinion. It's mostly, like, I want to say data-driven, but it's one opinion. That Paterka is somebody you could invest in, not a 200-foot player, but has value. If I'm another team, I want no part of Byram. He's Ristolainen. He's exactly what I want to know to avoid. Good face, good name, young skater, can't play. Just it's going to get me killed. So it doesn't surprise me if the Sabres can't get real interest in him. Because, I mean, they shouldn't, to me, they shouldn't. I didn't mind him as an idea for Mittelstadt because he was kind of the same thing to me as a forward. Mm-hmm. And, let's just find out. But they did find out. And if he wasn't on with Dahlin, he was a disaster. And when he was on with Dahlin, well, why do you need this guy? So just, it's an absolute no. Would it be like that big of a story if nobody else wanted to pay up for him? No, it shouldn't be.
I think it would for this reason. Brandon Montour comes to mind. Like, his numbers were never good here. He leaves here and he becomes like a top pair guy on a Stanley Cup champion. There's a pretty good parallel between the style of player both guys are. Great, like you already said it, great skater, puck move. I mean, a classic offensive defenseman who's, maybe almost definitely problematic in his own end. But in a different system with different support, like forwards even helping, it's not so much the D-pair guy. I could see a GM just going, yeah, we can make that work with our team. We've got a group that can support that, and we're gonna make it sing.
Well, Montour was a deadline trade by the Sabres, but they got a third. Right? What do they want for Byram? More than a third? I like the comparison too. If I were another team, I'd probably never do it unless it's that kind of price, third round pick. Who cares? Sorry, Owen, but who cares? Sure. Take them. 803-0550. NHL draft begins tonight. Round one from LA. The Peacock Theater, so Bulldog can't watch it.
I don't think that's right.
It is the Peacock Theater, but it's on ESPN.
Yeah.
So you can watch it. Sorry. Just, forced humor. Quote humor. Sam Paniatovich next. Bet Sweats. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.